are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about last night's wild, crazy, unbelievable win for the San Francisco Giants over the Dodgers. Walk-off home run by Donovan Solano in the bottom of the 11th inning. Giants came back in the 9th, they came back in the 10th, and they came back in the 11th. Honestly, they came back the entire game. They also came back in the first inning. Johnny Cueto allowed 3 runs in the first on a 3-run homer by Max Muncy. And then Brandon Belt hit a 3-run homer in the bottom of the first inning off a lefty, Julio Urias. So another great move by Gabe Kapler to take a guy out of a platoon in the right spot, and it paid off in a huge way with Brandon Belt just having a great game. He reached base 11 straight times, including 4 or 5 times last night, which no Giant has done since Barry Bonds in 2006. So just an incredible night. We'll talk all about it. Giants are in playoff position. They're 1 game under 500. So all of that coming up on today's show. A little bit about me. I've been an off and on contributor for SB Nation's Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs, which is the fantasy baseball part of Fangraphs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network in 2019. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan, so I've seen a lot of games between these two teams, and this one is up there among the best for the Giants. It looked like a game they were just bound to lose. It looked like, okay, well, here come the Dodgers. They're going to do their thing. Winning streak is going to be over. A little bit of a reality check. Giants fall to 3 games under 500. Dodgers just assert their will at Oracle Park. It looked like it was going to be that type of game. Johnny Cueto gave up 3 runs in the first. He ended up giving up 6 earned runs in 4 innings. Tell me if in any other season when the Dodgers have been like this, that if the Giants starting pitcher, if you looked at this line and saw 6 earned runs in 4 innings, you would just think they lost the game no matter what and that they had no chance. And that's how it felt, even with the fact that the Giants hitting has been so good. Actually, I take that back. It honestly felt like, okay, well, they're going to have to do their thing, and they did. It's just unbelievable how they've been able to continue to produce offensively this season. They just come back, like, no matter what. They just put themselves in games, keep themselves in games no matter what the score is, and that's what good teams do. They never feel like they're out of a game, and, you know, a lot of people would have said before this season that the Giants were not at all a good team. I've heard so many, like, I couldn't believe in the offseason. It was like the flavor of the month to just talk about how this was the worst Giants team anybody had ever seen. And that if it were 162 games, they were going to lose 100 for sure. They were tanking. They're in a 10-year rebuild. Like, just ridiculous stuff I saw. And honestly, I'm just paying too much attention to people's comments online. Like, I think we pay a little too much attention to that. But that was the general mood based on reading people's comments online. And honestly, a lot of the writers were in the same boat, just saying the Giants will be bad, period, without any kind of thought that maybe these platoons were going to work. Maybe the coaching staff was going to be able to help the hitters reach a higher ceiling. And that's exactly what we're seeing. And maybe the players that Farhan Zaidi brought in are a little bit underrated. Like, we talked on this show all offseason, Kevin Gausman is an upside arm. Drew Smyly is an upside arm. Trevor Cahill is, you know, in 2018, he was a really good pitcher. And, you know, so he's had a solid career. Mike Yastrzemski, this is a guy in the offseason we all kind of forgot about. Like, I didn't see enough coming into this year about Mike Yastrzemski being a player to watch on this team. But, man, I mean, have they just kind of turn that narrative on its head. Yastrzemski went 0 for 6, did not reach base, broke his 20-game on-base streak in this game. But that's the thing, 20-game on-base streak. It's pretty much the first time he hasn't contributed in a game all season. That's how it feels. So the guys who carried the load last night were Evan Longoria, who had 4 hits, Brandon Belt, who had 4 hits and a walk, as did Longoria have a walk. Donovan Solano was 0 for 5 up until that home run. So, I mean, huge hit for Donovan Solano. Walk-off 2-run homer in the bottom of the 11th. Joey Bart had a nightmare game. I can't believe it's taken me this long to say that, but Joey Bart had an awful game. He was overmatched at the plate. He struck out 3 times in 5 at-bats. I have this strong feeling of, like, I told you so, when people were saying, like, they just held him down for service time manipulation, and he was clearly ready because Derek Rodriguez said he was ready. Well, I think we're seeing against right-handed pitching that he's very inexperienced. He barely played above double A. He does not have a lot of experience against this type of competition, and I think we're seeing that a little bit against right-handed pitchers. They're just able to pound him inside, and it kind of looks like he has no chance. And then they get strikes that way, and then they can just throw something in the dirt, and he's kind of chased. So I'm not too worried about that. That's just what development at the major league level looks like, but it's totally reasonable that they thought he needed work against right-handed pitching, and I think we're seeing that. But not only was it a nightmare at the plate, in fact, it was more so probably a nightmare defensively. He just had an awful night defensively. I mean, that's maybe a little bit extreme because he probably saved some strikes with framing, but he also was struggling to catch the ball against high velocity. He was he struggled to catch against Tyler Rogers. He got crossed up in a huge moment in extra innings after he just could not get on the same page with Harleen Garcia. Just could not figure out what Harleen Garcia wanted to throw. Putting down the wrong signs over and over. Pitcher has to step off. They have to do a meeting on the mound. Just awful rhythm between Bart and Harleen Garcia. And then finally they get on the same page, they thought. And then Bart was expecting something off speed and he gets a fastball and it just drills him in the arm. He can't get a glove on it. It trickles away a little bit. Runner on second base takes off for third. Bart picks up the ball and throws it into left field and a run scores in extra innings. That gives the Giants a deficit. And that wasn't all. I mean, he also had a lot of trouble getting on the same page with Johnny Cueto early in the game. He just couldn't figure out what Cueto wanted to throw. It was messing up Cueto's rhythm. Cueto was visibly frustrated, as was Harleen Garcia. So the point is, I want to make this very clear, that is to be expected because Bart has never caught these guys in a real game, certainly. He may have caught them in spring training, but he doesn't know exactly what they want to throw in what situations to what hitters. So that's going to come with time. He's going to learn. He's going to study. He's going to think about what was I suggesting and what did he want to throw in that spot. They're going to talk about it. It's going to get worked out. That's just what catching development looks like at the major league level. And just catching guys you don't know. But it's on the biggest stage in big games. And so it was really ugly. And I think it's clear, it's perfectly reasonable, and hopefully fans can see that now, that the Giants thought he had some work to do at the alternate site before just throwing him into the major leagues. So anyway, this night very much could have been about Bart. That run he basically allowed on his own, I think it was in the top of the 11th, would have been the story. It would have been the story that Bart basically cost them the game with his defense there. But the Giants just kept coming back. Brandon Belt hit a home run in the ninth off Kenley Jansen to tie the game. Just unreal stuff from this team right now. So they improved to 15-16. They're still in a playoff position. They've actually fallen somehow because the Rockies have won a couple games. So instead of being in the seventh position, the Giants are in the eighth and final position, which means if the season ended today, they would play the Dodgers for a best of three series in LA. And the Giants have been tough on the Dodgers in 2020. They're 4-4 against LA. I believe the Dodgers are 18-5 against everybody else. So man, I just think we need to give a little bit of credit to Farhan Zaidi. We need to give a little bit of credit to the hitting coaches. These are not hitting coaches just regurgitating the same old adages. They're actually using technology, the latest swing analysis to try to get the most out of these hitters, to try to get them to drive the ball in the air. And that's what we're seeing. The Giants are driving the ball in the air a lot, which is what you want. No, you don't want ground ball singles. You want extra base hits and homers. And that's what we're seeing from this Giants team. So coming up in the second half of the show, we'll just continue to break down this game, what it means for the Giants to be in the position they're in with the trade deadline coming up. So we'll just continue to have that conversation next. But first, okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, just want to continue to talk about this game for the Giants, what it means to be in the position they're in, what it means for the trading deadline, which is now 5 days away. So also I want to mention Brandon Crawford also had a nice game. I was running through the list of people who had a nice game, and Crawford went 3 for 5. So pretty much up and down the lineup, they're getting well above average production from everybody. And the platoon system has worked. And like, they also have been really good about when to change guys out of the platoon role and insert them into the lineup, even though they don't have the platoon advantage. And that was the case last night with Brandon Belt starting against tough lefty Julio Urias. Up comes Belt in the first inning, no problem. First pitch, fastball down and in. He just hammers it to right center for a 3-run homer. And then the fact that these guys are hitting so well is just, it really does reflect positively on the new hitting coaches. Yes, there are 3 of them, 2 coaches and then a director of hitting. And if you listen to quotes from many of the players, I've heard it from Crawford, I've heard it from Slater, I've heard it from Yastrzemski, I've heard it from Flores. They're crediting the hitting coaches with what they've been able to do at the plate. They're not just saying, oh yeah, they encouraged me and we did this small adjustment and that's what's led to my production. They're saying, no, like, these guys, I give them so much credit. We're doing a lot of work. We're working on a lot of stuff, overhauling my swing, basically, and the results are what they are. So Justin Veely, Donnie Ecker, and Dustin Lind, I'm giving you credit. A lot of people gave this coaching staff a really hard time, gave the Giants a really hard time for hiring this type of coaching staff that wasn't just baseball lifers, guys being recycled through. These are guys who are like on the cutting edge. They don't necessarily have a lot of experience in dugouts, but they do have a skill for teaching hitting using the latest data and technology. It's over my head. I've seen like footage of what this type of instruction is like, but I don't know exactly what they're doing, but it's the latest and greatest and it's having a tremendous impact. So what does it all mean? The Giants are 15-16. It's really kind of wild that they're still under 500 considering they've won 7 games in a row now. But that's the reality of it. We're of course going to go through our little exercise. What if Trevor Gott did not blow 3 saves in 4 days, including a 5-run lead, a 3-run lead, and a 1-run lead? And let's say, okay, if they didn't blow all 3 of them, the Giants could be theoretically 18-13, 5 games over 500. Let's say he just doesn't blow the 5-run lead and the 3-run lead, then they're 17-14. But you know, you can't really do that because if they win those games, maybe they don't. I mean, everything's different. It changes the course of everything. So, you know, the butterfly effect. Who knows what impacts that would have had if they had won those games instead? So we can't really do that. We need to live in reality. And they're 15-16 and in the 8th seed. So, I mean, hopefully they can just push over 500. Obviously, that's the goal, and then try to keep it that way and not fall back under and fall into a hole there. But they're certainly looking like a team that's capable of playing at least 500 baseball. And this is something I keep meaning to talk about, but dating back to kind of a huge sample into last season, they have been a decent team. And that is not something we could have said for large stretches in 2018, 2017, certainly, and the second half of 2016, when if you looked back at any large sample, they were way under 500, like 20 games, 30 games under 500. So I have said a lot of times in the offseason that they finished the year 55-51. Since Yastrzemski's first career home run, which came a few games into his major league career, they were 55-52. So if you look at that 55-52 and then add the 31 games they've played this year, they're 70-68 in their last 138 games. So that's no kind of small sample to look at 138 games. Yes, it is a little bit cherry picking because I'm just picking this arbitrary date of Yastrzemski's first home run, but it's kind of not, because that 2019 team was a lot different in the first month and a half, 2 months than it was after that. I mean, when Yastrzemski showed up, first of all, he struggled for his first month and a half and then really took off in July, which helped them go on that run. And then like Alex Dickerson was acquired in June. The team changed a lot in the second part of the year. And so I don't think it's that ridiculous to pick that type of date. And even I haven't prepared for this, so I'm not going to do it. But even if we look at the last 162, I bet you that it wouldn't be that bad. And yes, this year's team is not the same as last year's team. They don't have Bumgarner. They don't have Will Smith. Don't have Stephen Vogt, Kevin Pillar. But as we said all offseason, I don't think the losses of those guys are as dramatic and significant as some have painted it out to be. Bumgarner really struggled so far in Arizona. He's on the injured list. I thought coming into this year that the Giants were better than they were last year, and I think we're seeing that. They've gotten great production out of like Kevin Gausman, Trevor Cahill, Tyler Anderson, Drew Smyly when he was healthy, Wilmer Flores. I just think they're better this year than they were last year. And yeah, so I think combining the two seasons, it's legitimate to say, yeah, over this big stretch of time, they're actually playing pretty decent baseball. So in terms of what it means this year and this trading deadline, I don't know. Once again, they've put themselves in a tough position. And once again, no matter what they do, there's going to be some group of people who thinks it was the wrong decision. There's going to be people who say, if they don't like sell off as many people as they can, that it was an awful decision, it delayed the rebuild, and they set themselves up poorly for the future. And then if they do sell, there would definitely be a large group of people saying they gave up on this team, they just demoralized this group and gave them no chance, even though they were playing so well and they had a chance, and it totally goes against their word when they said they were trying to be competitive deep into the season as possible. So that's going to happen no matter what it looks like, unless they lose their next like 5-6 games in a row and have injuries that just make it impossible for them to contend, then it's going to be the same scenario as last year. So that's pretty funny that it's happened twice like this, where they just play their best baseball right up to the trade deadline. But I think they did it really well last year, and I think that's going to be what we'll see again this year. It's certainly a little bit different because some guys who are obvious trade candidates like Kevin Gausman are really important to this team if they want to keep this going. But on the other hand, they do have someone like Drew Smyly potentially coming back, and could he fill that Kevin Gausman role when he's healthy? And the answer could be yes. I mean, he was pitching beautifully when he went down with the injury. So I do not envy them right now. But I also have a lot of faith and confidence in their ability to navigate this well. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. Some guys have really improved their trade value, like Brandon Belt probably has significant trade value right now if the Giants were willing to pay down a lot of the contract he's signed through next year. He's just all of a sudden has tremendous numbers, and there are some teams that really need first base help. So I don't know. I mean, I don't envy them for having to make these decisions. Anyway, we'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. It'll be Clayton Kershaw on the mound for the Dodgers against Kevin Gausman for the Giants. So it'll be the righty lineup again, except, you know, some lefties should be in there, guys who have worked their way out of the platoon role. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you enjoy the show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, Whatever you can do is so much appreciated, so thank you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.